Good evening, everyone. My name is Sheila Hodges. I'm the chair of the Caldwell County Republican Party. Can everyone hear okay? I'd like to welcome you all to the Caldwell County Republican Party's Sheriff Candidate Forum. We're going to have George Barber. Where's George at? George, would you stand and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? I would like to introduce tonight's moderator. It's Mr. Danny Holt from Benton, Kentucky. Danny is the first congressional GOP treasurer and Marshall County treasurer. And Danny's going to take it from here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have some instructions for you. First and foremost, the candidates have heard or seen the questions that they are going to be asked. They have prepared for them. They have 15 minutes to answer those three questions that we have for them. At the 14-minute period, I will stand up. If they go over their 15 minutes, then I'll walk over to them. If they still keep talking, I'm going to have the big guy come. But we're excited about this. I know things are changing all across Western Kentucky. I know in Marshall County we only have two Democrats even running in our county. So things have changed drastically over there as well. It's good to see such a robust amount of people willing to serve, and that's the main thing here, is serving. These questions have been approved by the Caldwell County Republican Party. As I said, there will be about 15 minutes to answer the three questions. No questions will be allowed from the audience due to time constraints. However, the candidates may electioneer outside of the building after it's over. You can talk to them, ask them any question you want to, and I encourage you, if you have questions, to ask them. That's the only way you find out. So, when we finish the forum and they have answered the questions, then it will be announced the way in which they will depart. They are going to be leaving here. Chris will be the first one up, and then after Chris answers the questions, then the next one will come. And I've been given the list, and I guess these are in valid order, if I'm not mistaken. So take note that there are only five. One has dropped out of the race, and that one is Jeremy Hillier. He has dropped out of the race and will not be participating. And so I would ask all the candidates except for Chris to depart to the jury room at this time. I won't tell anyone that you said after you're done, I could use the taser.
And I was hoping to slide it to you without you mentioning it. So.
All right. We have candidate Chris Knoll. Chris, we're going to begin with the first question, and after I read that question, we'll start the time. What qualifies you, if elected, to be sheriff?
Well, let me start by saying, introduce myself. My name is Chris Knoll. I'm running for Caldwell County Sheriff, and I'm on the Republican ticket and number one on the ballot. I'd like to start out by thanking the Republican Committee. those that made this possible and the people that are here that are willing to listen, take time out of their busy day to hear and be more informed about the candidates. To give you a little background about myself, I was raised in Caldwell County most of my life, Caldwell County High School graduate, and when I have some spare time, I enjoy restoring old muscle cars and trucks. My parents, the late Leslie Noel, most people know her that's from here because she worked at Walmart for over 30 years. And my father, late Dale Noel, who I believe are looking down on me, smiling with pride as I stand before you today. I also have many members of my family and friends who are raising children and young families here in Caldwell County. In regard to the answer to the question one, you know, I feel like there are many reasons that qualify me to be the next Caldwell County Sheriff. I'm currently employed at the Caldwell County Sheriff's Office, where I have been for over 21 years. During my time there, I started out as a road deputy. After a few years, the sheriff had noticed my interest in hard work and my ability to solve cases, and there I earned the title of detective. After several years in that position, the sheriff believed that I could better serve this agency and the community by promoting me as the department's chief deputy, where I have been honored to hold that position for over 12 years. You know, since my law enforcement career has started, I have 1,529 hours through the Department of Criminal Justice training. And if you include the hours that are not part of that training, I have over 2,000 hours. You know, when it comes to the budget, I believe my knowledge sets me apart from the other candidates. By having such an understanding of the budget and the close working relationship that I have with the magistrates and the judge executive, I feel like I'm an excellent advocate to work with the fiscal court and to be able to intelligently explain what is needed. By going to almost every fiscal court meeting, it helps me understand what's going on in this county and keeps those relationships close. I realize that the sheriff's office is only one of several departments that need to pull together to make things work within this county and make it operate as it should. Whether it's law enforcement agencies working together to solve a crime or the circuit clerk's office providing some information to the sheriff's office so we can do our jobs properly and efficiently. We must all have a common goal, and I have the contacts and great working relationship to keep things working as they should. I'm also the director of our local dispatch center, where I have been for over 6 years. You know, within those 6 years, I have stayed within budget and been able to attain new equipment. That new equipment has made it easier for the dispatchers to be more efficient and also had the ability to provide a safer information system, like, for example, our 911 phone system, where we have the ability to pinpoint accuracy about where people are. And in those 3 years, I've been able to retain qualified dispatchers, which I see some here today, and little to no turnover for an extended period of time. I'm also confident in my decision-making ability based on my experience and training. When a deputy calls in the middle of the night or I'm out with him on a call, I feel like I have the answers they need either to support their decision that they have or be able to provide them the best information they can to provide the best services to this community. You know, I deal with the interactions of the community on a regular basis. As far as being the chief deputy and being up at the sheriff's office, there's been multiple times on a regular basis where citizens come in to talk to the sheriff's office where I'm there and available. Through those conversations, they may come in and ask for questions about concealed weapon permit or ask about tax information, or sometimes even community members come in and discuss serious problems either they have about themselves or other people within the community, and I'm able to provide that information to those people. You know, a city police department and other law enforcement agencies and the sheriff's office have many different duties and responsibilities, whether it's tax collection, weapon permits, transports, and security for our local courts, just to name a few. And I believe I'm capable to carry out those due to my experience as administrator here at the sheriff's office. You know, I understand what it takes for the duties of the sheriff, and I know those duties because of my experience. I know what works for a county this size and how to make things safe and run smoothly. I understand one person or one agency can't do it all, and I won't always have the answers. But I know there are times I'll need to reach out and ask for guidance either from other agencies of law enforcement, other emergency services, or just people of the community in general. You know, I've always had an open door policy at the sheriff's office, and I will continue to do so as your next sheriff. And I believe these are all great traits of a leader. I feel like my vast knowledge of the inner working of the office and my ability to manage personnel and having the resources and relationships to keep the office working seamlessly and continue to keeping the people of this community safe.
Question number two. Most Caldwell County citizens feel like there is a serious drug problem here. What is your plan to deal with the drug problem in Caldwell County?
Well, you know, one of the main topics when we talk about the issues within this county, neighboring counties, counties within the state or within this country, is always falls back on drugs. But I can tell you all crimes within this community are serious, especially if you're the victim. We realize that drugs are destroying the family unit in this community. And we know the majority of the crimes that happen here are either directly related to drugs or indirectly related. You know, the Sheriff's Office will continue to do what we've been doing, and that's to have a proactive approach to the legal drug epidemic that plagues this county. To give you an example, before I came up here today, I had the opportunity to look at some records that we have in our office. In the last year, up till now, we have had over 115 drug-related cases, drug or alcohol-related cases, and several drug arrests that we've already had this year. You know, recently, the Caldwell County Sheriff's Office was involved in an investigation that took several months, where we partnered up with the Drug Enforcement Agency and the Kentucky State Police. You know, that involved a city residence here within the city limits. And through that investigation, we also teamed up with the Princeton Police Department and the Pinerolo Narcotics Task Force. And through those working relationships and our ability to work together and take care of what we feel like is the common goal, we were able to move a large amount of drugs off the streets of Princeton and take a drug trafficker off the streets. And I'm proud of that accomplishment. You know, I know that when it comes to drugs that I have to be realistic. We are a small department. We are a six-man department when we're fully staffed. And I realize there's only limits that we can do based on our other responsibilities that we have. And that's why we do our best to partner with other agencies, knowing that we need those resources and that assistance to make sure that we do the best we can to get the drugs off the streets. You know, one of the couple things that I'd like to try and do if elected sheriff, you know, I've talked to some of the agencies that surround us about having a 56 Judicial District Task Force, which would be made up of Lyon and Livingston and Trigg and, of course, Caldwell, to where we can all pull our resources and our information together to do a better job than what we're doing. Because I think most of us know that the problems and the people that are causing problems in this community are the same one that's causing in other places. And if we can work together, I think we can solve a lot of these issues. You know, a while back that we actually had a canine at the sheriff's office. Her name was Molly. We had her for a few years, and unfortunately, because of medical issues, she was retired from the department. But I feel like that was a great asset to the agency. Not only did it help as a tool to get some of the drugs off the street, but it was also the ability to have that communication. For example, when we was able to take the canine or the dog to school, that rapport that it created between us and the children at the school was invaluable. And I believe that would be another great resource that we should look at, and I'm considering doing if you're sheriff. You know, the sheriff's office will continue to take an aggressive approach to address the problems. And we will make sure that the people that fall addiction have access to services that you need. You know, the sheriff's office and most law enforcement do a great job at detecting drugs, finding people that are in possession of drugs. But I think sometimes we need to work harder at finding what resources and providing those resources to the people that unfortunately has fallen victim to the drug that they've got addiction to. You know, I just think we need to give a better opportunity to give the people that are drug users those resources to make them a better productive citizen of this community. You know, I have spoken on several times, whether it's here or different places, about drug traffickers. And I will sit here and say that my opinion of drug traffickers is far different than it is a drug user. As far as I'm concerned, that a drug trafficker is no different than any other predator. And that I feel like that if there is somebody caught within this jurisdiction that has sold drugs, that they ought to be punished and punished to the fullest extent of the law.
As sheriff, how do you plan on participating with the city police, Kentucky State Police, and other agencies in the area in order to carry out your law enforcement duties?
I'll be the first to say, when it comes to working with other agencies, we all can do better. There's always room for improvement, and I can tell you that I will work well and continue to work well and make those changes I need to continue that relationship and continue those relationships that we've built. You know, the law enforcement that serves this community, whether it be state, local, or federal, there's a great amount of experience, but we need to do better. Having better communication channel is vital. Everyone needs to continue to work together because we have one primary goal, and that is to keep the community safe. By working together, we have the experience we can capitalize on, whether it's to fight against drugs, theft, assaults, and the best way to do that is by working hand-in-hand with our partners in law enforcement, which is the KSP, the DEA, the Princeton PD, and the Pentaround Narcotics Task Force. You know, I had mentioned earlier about the case that we worked with the DEA and KSP, which I think shows our working relationship with other agencies. And just a couple days ago, there was a young juvenile that was missing from a local residence here in the county. It was through the assistance of the Princeton Police Department, our local dispatch center, our school officials, and also the community, we were able to locate this child in a short amount of time and bring her back to the safety of her home. And again, proud of that call as well. You know, I have continued to be able to provide service to communities through the changes in leadership. You know, in my 21-year career, I have seen many changes in leadership in all areas, whether it be in law enforcement or the other entities. And I feel like through my experience and my ability to work across the aisle to other agencies or my aisle to other fiscal court members, I think that is invaluable. I feel like I have a great working relationship with those. In closing, you know, I've been campaigning for several months and have been to probably hundreds of doors. And almost every home that I go to, I always try and ask the question, do you have any concerns with your sheriff's office or anything else you'd like to see done different? And the consensus seems to be everything seems fine, and if we call, we feel like somebody will be there to help us. Even though that I know and understand there's always room for improvement, that tells me that we're doing something right and that we are achieving one of our most important goals, and that is working hard at keeping this community safe. I can with confidence tell you what can actually be done within an agency and county this size and with the budget constraints. But I won't stand here and tell you things that sound great, but I know that are not realistic. There's a field of candidates with various levels of experience that's going to be here today. But I feel like I'm the only candidate that has shown an unwavering commitment to this county for over 25 years. You know, there's a difference in legal responsibilities of the sheriff's office and other agencies don't have. And I think one important thing to take away from this is that I will be able to hit the ground running on day one. There won't be any learning curve because I'm already doing the job. I've been entrusted with assisting in running the sheriff's office for many years. I will be a sheriff that is committed to this community, a sheriff who will fight to keep the values of this community intact, and a sheriff who will continue to work hard every day to keep your family safe. And with all that, I humbly ask for your vote. Thank you, and be kind, and God bless.
Thank you. You have another minute.
Well, let me tell you a joke. There's this. No, I don't have one. Not a. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Our next candidate will be Brent McDowell. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
I will ask the first question and then start the time.
All right, sir.
All right, Brent. First question is, what qualifies you, if elected, to be sheriff?
I've been in law enforcement for over 28 years. I graduated from the Department of Criminal Justice in 1989. That's been a few years back. The academy back then was 10 weeks long. It's now gone up to 21, 22, and soon to be back down to 20 weeks long. But Ever since then, I've received and had at least 40 hours of in-service each year, training, some more, depending on classes that we could get into and what the budget called for. I've worked at the Princeton Police Department two different times. The last time I worked here, I was a canine officer. I've worked at the Sturgis Police Department, where I was Assistant Chief of Police, and I was the canine officer over there as well. I've worked at the Providence Police Department on two different occasions. The second time I was there, I was a patrol officer, canine officer, worked my way up, sergeant, assistant chief. And in 2009, I was appointed chief and worked at the Providence Police Department until 2019 as chief. In 2019, until present, I work at the McCracken County Sheriff's Department. I worked the road as a road deputy. I served as a court security, bailiff, vehicle inspections. I worked the front office, answering phones, taking money for vehicle inspections. I do a little bit of everything in McCracken County. Right now, my main thing is transporting. I go all over the state transporting prisoners back to McCracken County from all over this state. I've been to Denver, Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, down by the Mexico border, transporting people, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and all some of the northern states. I have a transport that I'm leaving on here shortly. It's going to take a two-day trip to pick up, go one way, pick up two on the way back. So I put in anywhere from 50 to 70 hours a week of work time. I travel. I live here in Caldwell County, work McCracken County, so I have a take-home vehicle, and I travel back and forth from home to work and be called out any time at night. I've also have trained with the military on drug eradication, the DEA, state police, and I just think I have what it takes to be the next sheriff.
Most Caldwell County citizens feel like there is a serious drug problem. What is your plan to deal with the drug problems in Caldwell County?
Well, I'd like to, if possible, get a canine officer or get a canine dog. That is one of the vital things in McCracken County. We have three canine dogs, one that's on each shift, and they're called out all the time. If our canine is not out, the city has three to four canines. We can call them and get their canine to come to us. McCracken County has graciously said that until we get a canine, if I was elected sheriff, that we could call them and they would bring their dog to Caldwell County to help out with the problem. They know what the drug problem is down there. If y'all watch the news or if you go on Facebook to their website or their Facebook page, you'll see there's not a day go by that there's not three or four or five people arrested for trafficking, possession, and we're talking about meth. We're talking meth that's laced with fentanyl. You got your lower tabs and all your other pills that are laced with fentanyl. And there's at least, if on an average, if you average it up, there was at least one overdose per shift in McCracken County. We all carry Narcan, and we have, between each deputy, we have four doses of Narcan. And a lot of times it takes four doses of Narcan that we administer until the ambulance gets there to try to save these young people. I would work with the people first off that are addicted. McCracken County's got a great support with Badges of Hope. They have other sources that they have that you can pick people up and take them that want help if they come to you and want help, that you take them to Badges of Hope. There's a place in Mayfield that'll take them. And most of these are faith-based places. And it's been my experience, unless they're willing to get off drugs and go to a faith-based rehab, then it's not going to work. Most of the faith-based rehabs are working right now. Like I said, I would like to get a canine. I would like to, all the deputies would work out on the road and try to get drugs off the street. It's not that hard. If you're a road deputy in McCracken County, which there's no difference in McCracken County and here, except there's more people. The size of the county, mile-wise, is about the same size. We have 25 road deputies. We normally have 3 to 5 per shift on each shift. And the road deputies, you know, it's amazing how many times you can pull a vehicle over and get meth out of it, a meth pipe. Marijuana is not it's a common thing more so than anything right now. So unless you've got a large amount of marijuana, you're not going to be just get a ticket and told to go on. But I would send deputies to drug schools. There's a lot of drug schools out there that we can send them to and teach them how to stop cars and get the drugs out. And so I would do that. Like I said, you know, just work at it 365 days a year, 7 days a week to get the drugs off the street. When I come back here the second time, there's a person, I ain't gonna name names, but when I worked at the city, he come to me and he told me that in 6 months, I'd got more drugs off the street in Princeton than a whole other department had all year long. So if you wanna work and to get the drugs off the street, you can do it. You know, you gotta make it a game, you know. They're going somewhere and buying their drugs, so you catch them, then you got their drugs, and the drug dealer's got your money, and then you work your way up the chain and get the one that's the main source. Like I said, I like to get the people, help, get them rehab, talk to them. Like I said, you know, I'm on the road a lot, and any place I go, wherever I go, my car radio is on K-Love. And I picked up a woman in Grayson County the other day, brought her to McCracken County. She got out of the car and she said, you know, I was told you'd come get me, and I was told not to ask you to change the radio station because you won't. I won't. It's all K-Love. I minister. I witnessed all the people who get in my vehicles on drugs and talk to them and tell them, get a church family. Go to church. You just got the people that are addicted just need help. That's all they need. They need somebody to listen to. So, you know, there's different ways to go about it. You know, you can arrest them all you want, but it's not gonna save them unless they want to be saved. So that's how I would do that.
How do you plan on partnering with the city police, Kentucky State Police, and other agencies in the area in order to carry out your law enforcement duties?
Well, as chief and Providence, you have to work with the city guys, you got to work with the county guys, the state guys. The feds are a little different, you know. They'll come into your town and not tell you or not invite you to the party, but, you know, it's their game, you know, when they come to town. A lot of times it's a man thing, you know. Everybody wants to be in control, everybody wants to be in charge. So I think to start with, you just get all the department heads together. Chief of police, the sheriff department, and state police, and not just for here, but the surrounding counties, because the drugs don't come from just here, or they don't just come from this county. They're coming to or through all the counties and around us. So, you know, you just try to work with everybody and get along with everybody, and communication's the main thing. You sit down, talk to them, and, you know, of course, everybody ain't gonna get along all the time together. They don't at church. So I said, what do they expect us out here on the street, you know? Because everybody wants the glory. Well, to me, what difference does it matter who gets it off? The city, the county, the state, the feds, who cares? We just all need to work together to try to get all the drugs we can off the street. And, you know, like I said, the only thing you can do is just sit down and talk. And if that don't work, then you just do the best you can. I don't need 5 minutes, I don't need 5 minutes on that one.
Well, you have a couple of minutes.
I'm fine.
Just want to dance or?
Well, somebody would play Crowder, you know, we might could, you know. Yeah, Run Devil Run or something.
All right. Thank you,
man. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Next, we have Don Wheatman, who will be our next candidate. Welcome back, Don.
We're here.
We're glad you made it back.
You learned all kinds of things in there.
I bet you do. All right, I will read the first question to you, and once I do that, I will start the timer. And so here is your first question, Don. What qualifies you if elected to be sheriff?
Well, I meet the state qualifications. I'm old enough, and I've been resident here in the county long enough, as well as everybody else that is a candidate. Now, what we want to look at is what sets me apart from the others. I'm experienced. I conduct myself in law enforcement professional. I have a proven record. My history speaks for itself. And I'm not just a what you would call a comet that appears a short time but dazzles everybody with its sight and then goes off into oblivion to recycle again in four years to bedazzle everybody again. I'm here for the long term. I have been. I've got 40 years experience in law enforcement, 26 plus years with the Kentucky State Police with increasing areas of responsibility. I started in East Kentucky in a little area called Mud Creek, and it was called that for a reason. It was mud. But from that, we came down here in 1985, was promoted to lieutenant. I was assistant post commander at Post 2, Madisonville. With that, I was also the detective lieutenant, overseeing criminal investigations for the Post 2 area, which was seven counties. And I was also the special response team area one, region one leader. And as post commander later on, I was also a commander for a short period of time for the inspection evaluation team. We toured the state and made sure the state police posts were in compliance with the administrative and operational regulations. After I retired, back up just one sentence. At retirement, I was the Western Branch Commander, which I was overseeing the 8 Western State Police Posts. That was somewhere between 400 and 5,500 people, depending on the attrition rate and how many we hired. When I retired, I'd stayed out for a few months and went to work for Penny Brown Narcotics Task Force. I worked for them for about 3.5 years, give or take. And I worked here in Caldwell County and Webster County, primarily in Caldwell County. And we made several felony cases. And those cases, we only had one go to trial, and that resulted in a conviction of the gentleman. He got max time on it. After that, Penny Brown Narcotics, I was became chief police here at Princeton, 07. I was chief police here for 10 years, 07 to 17. And I left the PD at that time for, had some family medical situation that I was needed at home. And during that period of time with the PD, I think the folks here in town will see a great deal of improvement in the demeanor, in the respect, in the operation of the police department. We made a great deal of improvements, and I see those improvements continuing today. I guess I go on into the second question when I'm ready.
Most Caldwell County citizens feel like there is a serious drug problem here. What is your plan to deal with the drug problem in Caldwell County?
Well, we have to look at the drug problem in, I think, two separate venues. One venue is the people who are addicted, the victims, if you will. And we have to look at the drug traffickers and the suppliers, the parasites, the thugs that are bringing the drugs in, making them available. We need to look at the those people who are dependent upon drugs. We need to look at them and their problems, try to enter into rehabilitation programs. We need to look at making families available, families aware of what's available to them. There is a law which was passed a few years ago, Casey's Law, in which the families can actually intervene for a person who is not capable of helping themselves. They're endangering themselves. The family can step in with the courts and force them into a rehab program. Now, whether a forced rehab is effective or not, that still remains to be seen, but hopefully during that rehab period, they will decide, the victim will decide, that they want to get out from under this addiction and be favorable with committing themselves and making their lives better. Now, for the drug traffickers, the thugs that they are, and they are thugs, that may not be a proper word, but that's what they are, they're parasites. Their actions of bringing the drugs in is actually fueling many of our other crimes. We have to deal with them differently. These people need to be in the penitentiary. With that being said, how do we do that? We have to partner with other agencies in our area. We have to work with other sheriff's office. We have to work with the state agencies. We have to work with the task force, the federal people, the DEA, ATF, FBI if necessary. We need to use all our resources because these people do not just hang around in Caldwell County, our jurisdiction. They're throughout multi-jurisdictions, and that's the way they have to be, has to be addressed. I know many of these people from past experiences. I know the operations of, the people involved in law enforcement. The operations and what they're capable of doing and what they will do if asked, and I think we can ask and get that cooperation. And that's the way we intend to handle this, form alliances, share information, be cooperative, be transparent in what we're doing. We've got to share information. We cannot hold information and then expect others to work with us. We have to be cooperative, and that's what we're going to do. And I think we will be effective. Now, let's look at type drugs. We say drugs. We think of illegal drugs. There are illegal drugs. You have your fentanyl, carfentanil, many others that are very dangerous. As a matter of fact, there's a House bill just passed, increased the penalty to Class C, 10 to 20 on fentanyl for bringing it into the state, just bringing it into the state. Wherever it's from a foreign country or another state, it's still increased penalty with no pretrial diversion. That's a plus there, believe me. But we have to deal with the illegal drugs, as I was saying just a moment ago, partnering, forming alliances, sharing information, working together. Now, what are we going to do about the illegal use of legal drugs? That's something that affects many of us, many of our families. It is a real problem. We've got to look at where these drugs are coming from. A lot of them are coming from pill mills. You read about them in California and the Carolinas. They're around here too. It just nobody's brought it to the surface. We have to look for the people who write scripts for no reason. This takes investigation, this takes some undercover work, and it's going to take additional people, i.e., the Drug Enforcement Special Investigation Assistance, Penrod Narcotics Task Force, and, if necessary, the DEA. DEA is usually interested in pill mills. This is what we have to look at, but we've developed this information, pass it on, and work in coordination. That's what we have to do. This will do one thing. It will cut the money. You're not going to stop the drugs, but if we can affect the money, how it's being the profit margin, if you will, when you cut the profit margin, they'll go to another operation or go somewhere else. That's the way you control it. Once we put enough heat on them, they'll go somewhere else. We won't stop them and be up to somebody else in another area to handle that, but that's what we can do here. And that's what our primary concern of everyone in this room is here in Caldwell County, or this area which affects Caldwell County. That is what I intend to do with attacking the drug problem.
How do you plan on partnering with the city police, the Kentucky State Police, and other agencies in order to carry out your law enforcement duties?
I think I pretty well spoke on that with the attack we will make on the drug problem. That will continue on. We need to forge a cooperation at all levels of the law enforcement, not just the boys on the street, also the administrators. We all have to get along, and we all have to work in unison. Department levels, reach out as much help as you could get. And I think my unique position of being involved with the state police for many years, being around narcotics, the police department, I think that is a circumstance that very well puts me in line to be able to do that, partnering with everyone. Now, we also have other agencies that are non-law enforcement. I will term most of them as social services. Each one's got their own acronym, and they change quite often. But social services need to be contacted. We need to find out what programs that's available, what they can help us make the community aware of. Sharing of that information from the other agencies. Therefore, it helps people receive the treatment, receive the help that they need. And that's something that we do by notifying them, letting them know what can be done and what could be to help. It may not be law enforcement involved, but we can be a resource center for information. There's nothing wrong with that, and that would be a great plus. There's one area that we don't look at very often, and it's something that just closed our legislature. It just closed here a few days ago. We need to talk to our representatives. We need to talk to our state senators. We talked about this House Bill 215, Dalton's Law, of the increase in the carfentanyl penalties. How do you think that come about? The legislatures didn't come up with that. That come from a great portion of Kentucky Chiefs of Police Association and probably the Kentucky Sheriff's Association. I don't know about that. I am familiar with the Kentucky Chiefs of Police Association. But that's where this information comes from, as to what laws we need and what we need to do. We need to keep in touch with our representatives, our state senators, let them know what our needs are and be available for them to contact us to find out what they need to be working on and how this law affects us in Western Kentucky versus Eastern Kentucky. We need to help them. We can't expect them to do it by themselves and then sit back and gripe that this doesn't fit us. We need to make ourselves available so that they can understand. So there's another area that we need to look at. Politicking, if you want to call it old country word, but that has to be done, it needs to be done. We cannot sit here in the confines of Caldwell County and expect our problems to be solved because they're greater than the area encompassed by our county boundaries.
still have a little more time if you have anything else you'd like to say.
All right. That's great. Won't take but a minute of time. My wife, Barbara, and I moved down here in 1985. We chose Caldwell County to live here. I could have lived anywhere in the seven counties opposed to. We chose Caldwell County. We made it our home. It's our home by choice. And that's where we've been for all those years. I intend to stay here. I like this place. I've lived different places in the state, and I like Caldwell County better than any place I've ever lived. I like the people. And that means I've got 1 minute.
Yes, sir.
And with that, we're intending to stay here. And with that, I want to serve the people as sheriff of Caldwell County. I know I have the experience. I have the experience, I have the contacts, I have the ability, and I know how to use that ability. And I will use that ability. And I thank you very much. Also, my wife told me to mention that I had a Bachelor of Science degree in Police Administration and Traffic Safety. That takes care of me when I get home, because I've told you all my education.
Yes, sir.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate your attention. You've been very attentive. I can't say enough about the turnout. I'm glad everybody is here. Many of you I know. Many have heard the same thing that I've been standing here for the last few minutes. Same thing I've told you for years. It hasn't changed. It's all the same. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Mr. Holt.
Next, we have Steve Caldwell. Welcome back.
I'm here.
All right. We're just chit-chatting in the back. All right. That's good.
I'm not telling any jokes or anything. I heard you were asking people to tell jokes and stuff. I'm not going to do that.
But he didn't do that either.
Well, good to see everybody. Glad everybody showed up, or as many that did. My name's Steve Caldwell. Married to my wife, Marla, who's sitting out in the audience here for 38 years. We have four grandchildren. We moved to Farmersville a few years ago. We're out in the Farmersville section on Brown Hill Road. It's been a pleasure to be here. We're meeting a lot of great people. It's just a great experience for us. Marla and I are both members of Christ Tabernacle Church, where we also volunteer for the food pantry distribution network. And again, it's just a great group of people, and it's been a blessing in our lives to be here, to meet the people, and to be able to serve the community of Princeton and Caldwell County. A couple things about my background, and I'll be quick. I attended Montclair State College in New Jersey, where I was a two-time All-American in wrestling. I was a three-time national powerlifting champion. I went on to develop a program with Hamilton Township, which is a community right next to where we lived, and we developed a PAL program for powerlifting. I have a little bit of experience. Just to give you a little bit of my qualifications for sheriff, I served 33 years in the Atlantic County Sheriff's Office in New Jersey. I retired as chief. I was the operations commander. Entailed in my duties was I was in charge of 120 sworn personnel. I also was in charge of our members that were assigned to the FBI and to the federal marshals. We had two courthouses. We had one in Atlantic City, one in Mays Landing, 40 judges. I was in charge of prisoner transports, canine, fugitive apprehension, child support warrants, community affairs, legals, you name it. That fell under my purview. So I do have a lot of experience with sheriff's offices. Some of the things that I would like to do here, I believe in diversity. I believe any law enforcement agency today needs to be diversified. You need to represent the community you serve. It's extremely important. And to that end, I will research and I will look for diversity grants. And if I need to do some creative writing to make it fit this department, I'll do that, because that's a necessity. in everything you do. You have to represent the community you serve. Highway safety grants. You know, one of the things people ask is, are we going to do 24/7? There's only one way to do it. You don't have the resources to do it. But if you go out there and you get the highway safety grants, whether it's DWI, whether it's Safe Corridor, whether it's distracted driving, whatever it is, that's all overtime money. That overtime money keeps officers on the street. And that's important, but you have to know where to look. You know, not everybody can write a grant. Not everybody knows how to research and get what you need to do to find those grants and to write those grants. So my experience with the sheriff's office was, you know, I moved up the chain of command. I started as an officer in corrections. I moved up the chain. I was a canine handler. And I pretty much, every unit in that department, I not only supervised as chief, I also worked in that unit as I moved my way up, and I supervised all those units as a sergeant, lieutenant, whatever rank I was at the time. So I do have that experience. You know, let's talk about drugs for a minute, because I know that's a big issue with everybody. It's nothing new. Drugs have been around forever. I've fought the wars. I've been there. I was there when we decided, you know, all across the country, we're going to have zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. You know what that means? Somebody's walking down the street with an ounce of marijuana, lock them up, put them away for 3 years. And it just, everything just rolled from there. You know, drugs has been a battle that we have fought ever since I've been in law enforcement. And most of these guys that have been in law enforcement can tell you the same thing. Here's the reality. In Atlantic County, New Jersey, we had a task force, 50-man task force. We're gonna beat it. We're gonna win the war. You know, we had cameras in every corner, all our cities, cameras everywhere. We had shot spotters throughout the entire county. We had every resource you could possibly imagine. And you know what? We made arrests. Oh, we made a lot of arrests. And we did press conferences. We stood up there with the state police and the FBI and everybody. Woo-hoo! You know, we got them. We got them off the street. Did we? How many days do you think it took before somebody else took over? You know, listen, I'm pro. Let's make our arrests. You know, I'm a big believer in drug dogs, and I'll tell you this right now. You can't fight that war without a drug dog. You'll have a drug dog in Caldwell County if I'm your sheriff, because I'm a canine handler. I will either adopt or I'll buy a dog, I'll train it, I'll handle it, I'll feed it, and I'll house it at no cost to the county. And as a constitutional officer, nobody can stop me from doing that. And if I get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, guess what? It's time to saddle up. We're going to get that dog, and we're going to go out, and we're going to do what we need to do. Because, first of all, that's your probable cause. You know, and when you get that probable cause, now you have a chance to confiscate a vehicle. Maybe you get some money. Maybe you can, you know, add those funds back into the mix. So it's important to understand that. But understand drugs. It's a two-pronged process. Because, like I told you, we have fought this war, and they're still out there. So something else happened in Atlantic County, New Jersey. We sat down and we talked and we said, you know what, it's time to take a different approach. So we started a chaplain program in the Atlantic County Sheriff's Office. We brought the chaplains in. You've all been to testimonials. You've seen them. You've heard them. What's the number one thing you hear every time somebody testifies? Addiction. That's the number one thing. So what do? We just throw them away? We lock them up and we throw them away? No, we got the chaplains to go out, do community town halls, talk to people. Let's try to help some people. You know, everybody says cops aren't social workers. Well, cops aren't social workers. Doesn't mean we lose our compassion. You have to have some compassion. You know, and that's what we did there, and it worked. Did we totally defeat the problem of drugs? No. But did we save some people along the way? Of course we did. And that's what I would like to do here. I would like to bring the chaplain program here. Let me meet with the pastors. Let me talk to them. Let's go out into the community. Let's see if we can save some people. Because you know what? If a drug dealer has nobody to sell to, he's out of business. He's out of business. We can lock him up every day. You can go out there with the drug dog, and we can have surveillance, and we can do all these things. And you know what? Tomorrow, the next day, you know, we had, talk about meth. We had the biker gangs. They ran our meth. We had the Hells Angels, the Pagans. We had the heroin, the cocaine, the Bloods, the Crips, the Jamaicans. That was their territory. MS-13, that was fentanyl. We knew where they were. It wasn't a secret. They were on camera. We knew it. We had undercover people working. Like I said, we had 50-man task force. But again, in the end, we made our arrests, and we cheered, but we didn't win. We're still fighting that battle. So that I think, is important to understand. There are more than one way to go about it. You know, the last question was kind of interesting to me. Where I come from, we had 13 municipalities, the state police, the FBI, the DEA, federal marshals. We had everything you could imagine. And we had to coordinate with all those agencies. So how do you do it? How do you coordinate? How do you make it better for you? Well, understand something about law enforcement. This is an ego-ridden profession. There are egos everywhere. Trust me. Home rule. Everybody wants to be in charge. So you know what you do? You communicate. You cooperate with each other. You pick the phone up. You call. You have monthly meetings. When I bring highway safety grants here, if I have guys going out DWI midnight to 4, I'm going to let the state police know. I'm going to let people know that we're out there. This is where we are. This is what we're doing. Same with Princeton. You know, that's the way you do things. We had something called deconfliction, which you've all probably heard of. We had it on computers. When our guys were going out, our fugitive unit would go out to make arrests. Before they went on the street, they put it in the computer. This is the address we're hitting. And if they got a hit back from the DEA or the FBI or something, then we backed off. We made a phone call. Okay, what's the problem? That's what you do. You have to cooperate with each other. You know, Princeton is Princeton, and I understand right now, majority of times I see the sheriff's office in Princeton. That's where the action is. That's where everything's happening. But the truth is, there's an accident in Princeton. The sheriffs are there first. When Princeton shows up, to me, let Princeton handle it. Go back out into the county. Because I've been here 3 years. I've seen a car one time in 3 years. You know, to me, they need to get back out into the county. The other thing I'll tell you, I came from a department, even though it's 20 times bigger than this department, everybody worked. Everybody worked. The sheriff worked, I worked, everybody worked. When there was a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, we all went. Everybody went. I went out, I was part of an eviction team, and we had a lot of evictions, unfortunately, in New Jersey. And I went out on evictions every week. I still was on the road, and that's just the way you have to do it. And especially when I look at what's happening here, the resources aren't here to do all the things everybody wants to do. So you basically have to put it into a box and say, okay, what can we accomplish? What can we do? Well, you have some resources. You have the state police, which obviously have a lot more resources than the Caldwell County Sheriff's Office. So you need to make friends with them. You need to make sure you got a go-to person that you can talk to. You know, if you need some help, hey, call that person on the phone. Same with Princeton. We need to cooperate with Princeton. They need our help. We're there. They don't need our help. Go back out. You know, so there's a lot of issues with an agency this small, you know, but things can be done. They can be done if everybody works together. And I think that's important. So basically, you know, it's a pleasure to be here. My wife's nodding her head at me, telling me it's probably time to go. I actually took notes. I looked at this about 4 o'clock this afternoon, and I started taking some notes. So just so you understand that. But I spent a lot of years in law enforcement. I did, and I saw a lot. You know, I got the Wounded in Combat and the Combat Cross medals for being involved in armed confrontations where I've been shot at, stabbed, whatever the case may be. So I've been there. I've seen it. And the reason I told you a little bit about my background as an athlete was to let you know I'm a warrior. I've been there. I get up every morning at 3:45 and I train because that's my mindset. It's still there. Didn't go anywhere. Because every cop, retired or not, will tell you that's what you have to do because you never know. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. You got to be ready. You absolutely have to be ready. You know, I was a trainer in the police academy for 25 years. I taught not only police recruits, I taught veteran officers. And you know, some of the things that I instilled, especially to recruits, there's no profanity. Get rid of it now. Because at the worst possible time, you're going to say something you shouldn't say. Racial slurs, get rid of them now. Forget about it. Because if they did that at the academy, they were out. There's no place for it. You know, we instilled that in these people because they needed to understand. You know, we've all been there when we were younger. You get mad, and what do you say? You say something you shouldn't say. So we pounded that home with them, and that's important. But I trained in unarmed defense, officer survival, impact weapons, everything, evasive driving. You know, I trained all those different areas, and you know, it was a joy to do it. But you know, we did what we had to do. So anyway. Well, I know you can't ask questions, but
you still have a little more time if you want.
Oh, okay. Well, probably a lot of stuff I forgot about, but anyway. But yeah, that's my experience. And you know, New Jersey is not like a foreign planet. You know, it's obviously a lot more populated than this is. You know, one of the amazing things here, like I said, the great people. You know, I had to learn to ride a tractor. And that was probably the hardest thing I've had to do since I've been here. I called my neighbor. He's 82 years old. And I said, you know, I said, I got this tractor. I said, I got to brush hog this field. I said, can you help me, please? I said, can I actually get this tractor up and down the field? He starts laughing at me. So he comes over and he jumps on the tractor. 82 years old. And he's riding around having like a joyride for him. He gets up the hill. He gets on the tractor. So I said, okay. I said, let me try it. So I got it. And it's been an experience. You know, so we've learned tractors, we learned zero-turn mowers, and all sorts of things that we never saw before. But like I said, it has been a great experience for us here, and the people. You know, it's hard when you come to a town that everybody knows each other. Everybody knows each other. I can't talk to anyone, and they don't say, "Oh yeah, I know so and so," or "I know this one or that one." I mean, we come from a county 500 plus thousand people. You didn't even know your neighbor. You know, I mean. You know, so it's unique. But, you know, I think it's a great community. Like I said, you know, of course, my last name is Caldwell, you know. And people say, well, you know, no one will vote for you because you didn't grow up here and you don't have grandkids here. Well, you know what? Let me tell you this. I have no preconceived notions about anything or anybody. Nothing. Nothing. I have fresh eyes to look at everything. I have fresh eyes to look at this department. I have fresh eyes to look at everything that's going on. I have fresh eyes to be able to reach out to all these people that maybe the communication line somehow got broken, you know, between whether it's Princeton or the state police, whatever it is. I have fresh eyes. So I'm ready to go to work. You know, let me just say this in closing. If I was elected sheriff, it would be my honor to serve the people of Caldwell County, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Steve. Okay.
Ready whenever you are, sir.
Hey, then. First question is, what qualifies you if elected to be sheriff?
I've got some experience in the Department of Corrections. I was a sergeant there. I worked under the CERT team. I worked for the K-9 unit from 06 to 2013. I had quite a bit of experience in transporting inmates to and from court to doctor's appointments. I had experience watching their actions on the what we called the yard, the recreational area, and kind of caught on to some of the things that was rules being broken within the prison system. I worked at Princeton Police Department for a couple years. I worked here in the city of Princeton. I made arrest. I done anything a regular patrolman would do. I left there, went to Marion PD, worked there for a short time. I actually went there due to the fact the insurance for family was going to be a little easier on me, and come to find out that wasn't the case. So I was only there for a short period of time, so I actually come back and worked for Caldwell County Sheriff's Office under the sheriff that's here now, Stan Hudson. Also, I feel like I have the sympathy, the empathy, and the listening ears that some may or may not have, more so due to the fact that I worked in a corrections facility, and I've dealt with people on a regular basis, and I got better at listening to people and paying attention to people when needed. With that being said, I also I learned that talking to people and treating them with the same respect as I would want to be treated if I was in their shoes has worked better for me. I know a lot of people don't do that in law enforcement. With that being said, I feel like with all that together, I feel like that would make me qualified to be a sheriff here in Caldwell County.
Most Caldwell County citizens feel like there is a serious drug problem here. What is your plan to deal with the drug problems in Caldwell County?
I feel like active, proactive policing, hitting some of the dealers hard and a little aggressive at first and trying to get some of the dealers off the street and some of the people that's distributing the drugs within our communities would be a good start. If funded and available, I would like to try to utilize and get a canine unit active and at least have one officer or deputy that's trained to run that dog, maybe two, just to be on the safe side in case one needs off or takes on vacation or something. We'd have a backup deputy that would be able to utilize the canine unit within our department. Once again, that's with funding. If we found funding to be able to do that and the training. Also, I feel like working with the court system more to try to get some treatment to some of these people that have horrible addictions and they can't help it. A lot of people I deal with on the street now, I work at Lyon County Sheriff's Office now, have since I left Caldwell. With that being said, I deal with people on a regular basis that's addicted to drugs. I've arrested the same multiple people numerous of times. They don't admit they want help, but I feel like if we get them in a court system and pressure them into getting some kind of rehab and get into a long-term facility, maybe we can break some of those habits and addictions and possibly break some of those problems within our community that way. With that being said, another thing I think is being proactive in the community and see what's going on and being in contact and communication with the communities. That way the communities can assist us in recognizing where the bigger problems lie, where some of the main areas that have the biggest drug problems and distribution of the drugs and the underprivileged people, some of even people here in the city, some of the streets. There's certain streets here in the city that most people, they know that's where the drug problems lie. 95% of the people who live there have drug problems, and they realize that. And it's very obvious when you drive through these areas. I think some of those can be took care of with heavy enforcement and, like I said, some mandatory rehabilitation programs.
How do you plan on partnering with the city police, the Kentucky State Police, and other agencies in order to carry out the law enforcement duties?
I feel like better communication within the departments, working together instead of against each other, helping them on some of their problems, some of their calls within our county. If they get called and they need assistance, I feel like we need to come out and assist state police, city, even if it's after hours, they need our assistance. I feel like the sheriff's office should be available 24/7 in doing that, even if somebody has to be called out and come out in the middle of the night and assist those agencies. I feel like a meeting maybe once, twice a month with some of the leaders within the state police, the chief of police, the supervisors with the city of Princeton, and having a better working relationship instead of working against each other. When I was here working in Caldwell and even with Princeton PD, there's a big issue between departments, and it's within the administrative departments within those departments. It's not the officers or the deputies working against each other. It seems like there's issues between the chief of police and the sheriffs, and also with state police. A lot of state troopers, they don't come over here. They don't want to be over here, and the main reasons because in the past, not saying right at this time, but in the past, I've talked to other troopers that said that the main reason they don't come over here is because they get a lot of calls pawned on to them, and they feel like they get abused instead of utilized and being able to assist. They seem like they're just taking the workload away from the agency that should be responding to those. Now, granted, with that being said, state police does have jurisdiction within our county and our city, and there's not a problem with them handling calls if we're overworked or cannot get to those, but we should not count on them and make them take our calls and our problems completely off our hands.
You have some more time if you would like to say anything?
For ones that don't know me, I'm Keith Suits. I've lived in Fredonia for about 20 years, give or take. I got three children, two of them's in Caldwell County school system. One of them's in the middle school now. One of them's in the elementary school. My oldest boy is 14. He likes to play football. I kind of get into the games and go to some of the community-oriented games and stuff at the school. I've been approached by many people with some of the problems that's going on in our county. I feel like some of those problems can be easily fixed. Some problems, it's going to take a long time and a whole lot of work and a whole lot of effort between multiple agencies, not just the sheriff's office. It's going to take a team effort and a joint effort to get these things done. With that being said, there's multiple candidates that I'm friends with. I think a lot of Don Weedman. I worked for him under he was the chief of police at the city. He's an awesome guy. I learned a lot from Mr. Weedman. Sean Young, I'm still friends with him. We still speak. We have multiple options here that I feel like can better our communities, and they have our best interests as well. With that being said, thank you for your time, and thanks for listening to everything I had to say.
Thank you, Keith. Would you invite the rest of the candidates to come back, please? Gentlemen, that concludes our forum tonight. I want to thank you for your attendance. I want to thank you for being open to the people and especially for serving and being willing to serve, because in this world in which we live, sometimes that's not a very easy thing to do, is to put yourself out there in service to people. So thank you. And I would ask that all of you give them a round of applause. I'm going to ask that if you will go through this way and exit, and then when they come out, they can greet you and ask you questions if they would like a little more information on you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Aren't we going this way?
Yeah. Oh, he's got your glasses.
He's got your glasses.